Well?
It's just after I see a movie, I like to go get a piece of pie and talk about it. It's sort of a little tradition I have. Do you like to get pie after you see a good movie?
Hello and welcome to another movie podcast. My name is Oscar, and with me, as always, is
Luke.
And
that would have been me, Ralph.
That's right. That was more Ralph's cue because he
was
going to
say. I was going to say Luke said always.
Sometimes,
right? Exactly. See that? Thank you. That's what right. I was going.
At times, for the most part, you know, what are those introductions? Anyway. As I said, this is another movie podcast, and this is episode number 107. And on this episode, like all episodes, we're going to be doing three movies to review for you guys. And those three movies are all Netflix-centered, Netflix new or newish movies, and that I chose, Oscar chose. So I apologize in advance, is what I'm saying. And the three movies are going to be The Old Guard, which I believe just came out about less than a week ago. And then it's the Italian movie, 365 Days, which has been out for a couple weeks. And Wasp Network, which I don't know how long it's been out, but about the same. And all three are available on Netflix. All three polar different movies of different kinds, all different shapes. And they're all from different countries, too. So it's a real huge, you know, covering all the corners here a little bit of the globe. So. That's what we're going to be doing today. You can always find this episode and all of our episodes over at otherpodcast.com. Of course, not to mention wherever you are listening to this, which is probably iTunes or, you know, Stitcher, something like that. You can find us there as well, obviously. But that doesn't go all the way far back to the beginning. But if you want to find all of our episodes, our archive, if you will, otherpodcast.com is for it's for you. It's where you can go. Let's see here. We don't have, we typically do a marathon of some sort, or we're typically preparing for something. Usually by now, we would have had our top five shows of the year so far, our top five movies, sorry, of the year so far, and the most anticipating movies for the rest of the year. But, with the state of the world, I didn't push for it.
To see some movies.
I didn't push for the top five. I figured we'd just wait for the end of the year for this one, because it is weird, it's chaotic. I don't know what my top five are, and I don't want to think about it until the end of the year. And furthermore, like the anticipation, what can we anticipate for? How do we know Tenet's going to come out? How do we know the Bond movie's going to... I don't know what's going to come out when. I don't know what's going on. So, we're winging it on that front. That's why we haven't done that particular show yet, because it's been over half a year now. But besides that, the reason we don't have a marathon or anything is because we just, if you listen to our last show, Ralph and I discussed on that marathon, we decided on a person and we picked a few movies. Luke added his two in there after the fact. And that's what we're going to be doing, that marathon. I don't know what we're going to call it. Maybe the Here's Johnny marathon. It's Jack Nicholson. We're going to cover most of his career all from his start to up until his older age. Not like his last movie, but around there. And for those who are interested, this is something we planned in advance. We don't have, like, we're not picking them week by week here.
Yes,
we have all the movies already. No, I'm saying, like, we're not, like, we don't know what, like, we know all the movies, I'm saying. No, right. Usually we don't. Those movies, in order chronologically by release date, I guess, it's going to be Five Easy Pieces, Chinatown, One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest, The Shining, Batman, A Few Good Men, and The Departed. Yeah, I think the middle two there, One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest and The Shining were Luke's picks, I believe. Right? Yeah, so those are the movies we're going to be covering. And obviously, we're going to be highlighting Jack Nicholson in general and those performances. Obviously, we'll talk about the movie too, but that's our marathon. That's going to start next time. Now, let's move on here with checking up how everyone's been up to. Luke. Yeah. What have you been up to?
I just came back from Atlanta, and I'm in self-quarantine for two whole fun weeks.
Because you were in Atlanta?
Yeah.
Elaborate?
I just got a, you know, heads up, hey, you got to go to Atlanta tomorrow, and yes, so I had to pack up my bags and stayed there for about 19 nights. That's how I wasn't able to record with you guys last time, because the hotel internet was this poor.
No, I'm saying, did you come in contact with someone who got?
No, it's just a precaution since they send us into a hot zone. They want us to make sure we're safe, so they're literally giving us 2 weeks.
Yeah, that's what I wanted you to elaborate on. Yeah. All right. Anything else? How's the quarantine going? But you kind of quarantine yourself all the time anyway. But how's it going?
So far so good. I mean, literally today is day one of quarantine, so.
Oh, really? Yeah. I thought you were like a day five already.
No, day one.
Are you cabin crazy?
Not yet, no. No? I mean, I was kind of getting hotel cabin crazy because there was nothing to do outside of work. So I just ended up watching a lot of shit. Like, I finally finished The Boys on Amazon Prime. Just in time for season two. I finished that new show that they had, Upload. And yeah. I brought my PS4 with me to finish The Last of Us 2. So, I got busy.
Oh, yeah, I haven't even started that game yet. I'm behind on my games. All right. So, that sounds awesome. I mean, the quarantine maybe could be awesome. You could catch up to a lot of stuff. Raph, what you been up to?
Yes. The same as last time. Doing much of nothing. No, not quarantine, because I'm not. I'm working Fridays a week. Other than that, really just gaming, watching movies, watching TV as well. Started this new show with my wife. I can't think of what it's called, but it's a spin-off of a Japanese game show where comedians go in a room and they can't laugh.
That Australian one?
Yeah, the Australian one currently on Amazon Prime. There was a Japanese one originally that had like 3 seasons. And that's the whole premise, is like you bring in like 10 people or 8 people or something into a room, and they got to sit there for like 6 hours, and the first one to crack or last one to crack wins, and there's like a big money prize or whatever. And they're obviously doing stupid shit to each other, but they're not allowed to smile or crack a smile or laugh, obviously, out loud.
You're kidding.
That's super cool. Super funny show to watch.
I wonder if the last episode is like a bunch of sociopaths.
The third episode is that. I didn't even need to get to the last episode. I think the second, actually, you could kind of say that as well. So that's a funny show to watch. Yeah, there's that. Other than that, really, I haven't been doing much. I've been trying to go to like do stuff with my kid, but you know, it's kind of hard. Stuff is still closed; like not everything's still open, so it's kind of shitty. But we did appreciate the zoo because the zoo's open. It's just limited opening. It's like a soft open.
So, like half of the.
Yeah, anything indoors is not allowed to be. You can't go in.
Okay.
So anything that you have to touch, also you can't really like the Ferris wheel, the fucking they don't have a Ferris wheel there. The carousel, you can't get on the carousel, for example, and stuff like that. You know, high touch areas, so they won't do that.
Got it.
Other than that, I mean, that's it. That's about it. I'll tell you about my movies in a bit.
Well, yeah. As far as me, I'm still moving in pieces.
Wow. And you're eating, clearly.
Yes, I am. Yep, I have not eaten today. it's okay. Let's see. Yeah, so I know that we just got like... I have this problem with... I have this problem with these cabinets. I have these, you know, everyone has cabinets in their kitchen, you know, for plates and whatnot. And we haven't used ours because since we got in, there's been like this insanely sticky yellow residue on the cabinets, on the door panels, on two out of the three. And including the knob, too, where you would like, you know, touch the most. You know, it's horribly sticky. And I tried several different things to clean it to no avail. No success whatsoever. I think it's making it stronger.
the way you said it.
Yeah, no, it's like the blob or something.
Goo Gone.
Yeah, so we got Goo Gone last week, and I tried it the other day. And it says to leave it there for a few minutes. I left it for like 5 minutes, right? And then went back with a cloth, and you know what, it did diminish it. I won't lie, it did diminish it finally, but it didn't.
Don't use cloth because cloth will stick on it. You got to use like a sponge or something.
Well, either way, it didn't stick to it. So, I mean, either way, yeah, you're right. I should. But I'm saying is that it's still very much there. I don't know what on God's green earth could it possibly be on these cabinets? Did like tree sap fall on it? What is it? I don't know.
Just burn it down.
Just burn the whole thing down. That's what I'm thinking. So I have these cabinets and these plates that won homes, and I can't give it to them.
Yeah, it's like grease. I remember touching them. Yeah, I remember when I was at your house. Not to be creepy or anything.
No,
creepy.
I don't know. See how that would be creepy, but okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a bizarre event. It's just, to me, I just never even thought this was why, who, what, you know. So that's I'm just giving you one small, tiny glimpse into the life of my new place. More to come, I'm sure, in the following weeks.
Sure.
Let's get into now some recent discoveries, which is pretty self-explanatory. Luke, you're going to start us off. What do you have?
Boy, do I have some stuff for you guys.
I'm going to go on mute.
Yeah. I don't need a used car.
No, so I saw some two old movies that I've never seen. Rambo First Blood, and then Rambo First Blood Part 2.
Yeah, it's a terrible title. They're terrible titles.
They are fucking
terrible titles.
Okay,
cannot emphasize how much they're awful. Sorry.
Well, apparently, the Rambo First Blood is just actually supposed to be just First Blood.
Well, yeah. That makes sense.
But anyway, I was so confused watching this movie. Because I had no idea it took place in Washington. I thought it was going to be like off in some exotic country. I've never watched it. I always assumed he would go to some country and solves whatever issue that they're having. Had no clue what happens in Washington. So.
Okay, so how many Rambos have you seen?
Two.
Just the first two. You never seen the one where he goes to,
nope.
You know, Burma?
Nope.
Burma's a war zone. No, you never heard of this before.
I've never seen a Rambo movie in my life.
You really haven't seen a Rambo movie?
No.
We all talked about it. We know when Sean and I, we always still hang out. We talked about that Rambo movie.
Yeah, I could have sworn we all saw it together.
I'm pretty sure we did. Are you sure you weren't there? And you just like, you know,
I'm writing history? I'm pretty sure I've never seen a Rambo movie in my life.
Burma's a war zone. That's nothing. Yeah. You never.
Burma's a war zone.
Yeah. Doesn't say like that, but
I mean, he doesn't. Like, but yeah, it does.
But on the contrary, when I saw Rambo First Blood Part 2, I kind of knew what was going to happen because of Hot Shots Part 2.
Oh my god.
You know, there's no K, it's Part 2, it's French.
So anyway, I kind of knew what was going to happen. Except, I just started watching Rambo 3, I just haven't finished it. And so, but I did still see things that happened in Hot Shots. And I was like, oh hey, now I know
it's pretty much insanely ridiculous right after the first one. The first one's the only good one, really. But what did you think of the first one? I mean, that's the only one.
It was confused me that it happens in the U.S. and he's just this like.
Yeah, he's a vet. He's like a fresh vet.
Yeah, a vet that's just like getting shit on and everything.
Yeah.
And then he has this like little.
Wait, what's so confusing about that? End.
I thought it was. I did not know it was going to take place in the United States.
But the movie's not confusing.
I assumed it was going to be. Like, okay, it starts off in Washington, and they're going to probably come in and
swoop. Okay, so that's like a minute of the opening screen time, and then what, you're used to it. What did you think of the movie?
I was waiting, like, when are they going to take him to some third world country or whatever?
Oh, really?
When's he going to go back to Nam or Burma? Who knows?
Burma, right. Okay. All right, that works.
Yeah, so yeah, that was kind of confusing.
Okay.
I plan on trying to watch all of them, so stay tuned.
Yeah, I guess next time you'll see Last Blood, and it's the worst one. Yeah. Probably.
Then I saw some documentaries.
Shocker.
Shut up. First one is a documentary called General Magic. And General Magic
General
was
Magic?
Actually, yeah, General Magic. It was a company that was founded, I think, in like the very late 80s or early 90s by a bunch of some guys, I think, from Apple and things like that, you know, from the whole Silicon Valley era. And they were pretty much creating what was going to be today's smartphone back in the early 90s. And I mean, they had this great idea. They had all these companies on board. I mean, companies that will like rival each other, like Sony, Motorola, Philips, AT&T, they were all in on it because they loved this idea of having this like portable device that you can take anywhere with you. You can send like, you know, messages, make calls, kind of like a PDA slash phone at the time. And the people that were in this company, you know, like right now, today, they're on like some really other, they're in like big other corporations. Like there's one guy who was an IT guy at this company. Like now he's the guy that created eBay. A woman in this company, she was the chief like technical officer for Obama. A guy who made Adobe Dreamweaver and like became like Adobe's like one of their top guys. He like all these people were in this one company.
Ultimately, you mean like at some point,
this company was only up for like a couple years because they were so far. Like the premise was like they were so far ahead into the future of what they were trying to build, they didn't see what was in front of them, which was the rise of the internet. And that kind of made them like kind of irrelevant, you know. And then,
you know what's funny? It's like you're coming dangerously close to. I know you're not doing this, but I'm saying you're coming dangerously close to saying the conspiracy starts here in this company because everyone that's involved with
no conspiracy.
But it's I'm just saying it's
the people that they attracted were like some of the most like some of the best people in the industry. And even though, you know, this company went to shit, the stuff that they made after it is, like, crazy. Like, also, I think the guy who made, like, LinkedIn, he was in there and all kinds of stuff. It's crazy to see at the end of, like, what became of these people. And it's funny because they were, like, a little tech startup, but they had this guy come in and he was actually doing, like, a documentary on them, just recording all this footage. And now it finally came into play because there was, like, footage of them, like, working on the device and showing off, like, early concepts of how to make a touch screen or something like that, you know?
Right, that's cool.
Yeah, it was pretty cool. I mean, for like,
I may actually watch one of your documentaries you watch.
Yeah. So, I don't know. Pretty cool. So
that's General what?
General Magic.
Got it.
Yeah. That's the name of the company as well.
All right.
The other documentary I saw is called Doomed, the Untold Story of Roger Corman's The Fantastic Four.
Okay.
You guys heard about this movie? The Fantastic Four movie?
No.
No.
Sometime in the like early 90s, when they were making like those shitty like Marvel movies, like there was like a Thor one, I think there was like a Captain America one and something like that. They also had to make a Fantastic Four movie for some reason, and the company that got it was Roger Corman's company, I believe, and he's the guy that does like those like crazy like cheap low budget movies.
Mm-hmm.
And so they had like a shit budget, and they legit in like 1 month had to get like this movie started. So like everything, casting and everything, and it was so like cheaply made and everything. And then Marvel had like Stan Lee like came to set. But then he like later denied it, that this never was going to be a thing. And there's this whole conspiracy between it where they had to give the rights to make the movie, and then they were going to like shop it somewhere else as well. It's weird, but this movie came like they made it. The people that were working on it thought, hey, this movie's going to come out, it's going to launch my career, everything, right? And then all of a sudden they just said nope. After the movie was done, edited everything, they just said it's never going to come out.
So it's a failed movie documentary.
It's a failed movie, right. But the movie was actually created and made. And they said that this movie is actually out there. I think you could watch it on YouTube. And there's like you could find copies of it on eBay. Because one of the guys said that he actually went to like some tape house to get like a thing of this like movie like transferred or something. And he thinks one of the employees saw that, hey, it's a Fantastic Four movie. And he made a copy for himself. And that's how this movie was able to actually, you know, come back into life. Because when they weren't able to release the movie, they pretty much came and they took all copies of it away from them. So this movie was never supposed to see the light of day.
Did you see it?
I saw parts of it. It's pretty cringe, but it's pretty funny. because it's like they literally took like the comic book like to heart, like the way they look and everything, but oof, it's bad. Like the costume design, it's so bad sometimes.
Oh no, I bet.
Yeah,
I bet.
Yeah. So it was really cheap to make, and like they even shot it like this. The place they shot it was like condemned. Like they were not supposed to even be in there. Like this, the studio. It was bad. But
is the reason why they can't show it because of copyrights?
Because someone else was also involved in it, and he owns he was part of it, and I don't even remember. It was just so much no one really knows for sure. They're just speculating, you know.
Okay. All right. No, that sounds kind of fascinating. I like those kind of movies, kind of like that. What's that? The worst movie ever made, kind of thing, right?
Yeah.
Kind of like behind the scenes of movies. Yeah. What's it called again?
Doomed! Exclamation mark. The untold story of Roger Corman's The Fantastic Four.
Awesome. Oh, yeah, that sounds fascinating.
I think it's on Amazon Prime. I think that's where I saw it.
Yeah, you're an Amazon whore these days. You're going to find out soon why, folks, at the end of the show.
I'm not a shill.
Yeah, no, you're a shill, yeah. Raph, what do you got for us?
I got one more.
Oh, you got one more. I'm sorry, I thought that was four.
Thing. No,
my bad. I thought that was all.
Hamilton on Disney Plus. It's out.
All right, you saw it? Okay.
Yes, and it was really fucking good.
That's what I hear.
Like, I was too cheap to buy tickets to see it, but hey, it's free on Disney Plus. Why not? And yeah, it really damn good. I wish I saw it in the... Well, maybe in the future I will see it on Broadway or when it comes to Chicago again. But I highly recommend it. I can see what the hype was all about.
No, when that show was on Broadway officially, right?
Right.
It wasn't about being too cheap to buy tickets. It was like you're too poor to buy some.
Well, I mean, I think tickets were 300-ish or something just to see it, like an okay seat.
Maybe no, like a shitty seat, probably.
Yeah,
I don't remember, but yeah, it's everyone and their mother want to see this goddamn.
Oh yeah, thing. And you couldn't even find tickets sometimes. And I remember my friend actually won a lottery where you pay like $20, mm-hmm. and if you were chosen, they gave you a random ticket to go see it.
Nice.
So that's how they saw it.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah. Anyway, I still haven't seen it though. I've been not that I've. Personally, I've just been waiting. I don't know what for. Maybe like a movie night with the girlfriend or something. I don't know what, but I'm just waiting. I'm not jumping in.
The best part, though, subtitles. Oh, man.
Oh, yeah.
I think you'd miss certain things in this, but with the subtitles, perfect.
Yeah, I know. We all love subtitles in our movies and shows. So, yeah.
Well, I want every Broadway show to be subtitled for me.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. I love subtitles. They're great. So you agree the hype and everything? You get it? You get why it's so popular? Why all the jokes?
At first I was just like, yeah, whatever. They made a hip hop, you know, history thing, but no, it's really good.
All right,
I can see why so many people loved it and loved the soundtrack.
Yeah, exactly. All right, so now that's all you have, right?
For real, yeah.
All right, Raph, what do you got for us?
I had two movies.
Oh, what happened?
If you look at the chat, you'll see why. Anyways, I no longer have two movies.
Oh.
I only have one, so I'll give you my one movie.
I see that now. Okay, I'll delete that.
That's good. Leaving the whole... big yawn. Sticking with Alfred Hitchcock, I might as well have watched his next movie, or that I haven't seen, which was North by Northwest. And I hadn't seen it, so we had just seen Vertigo for my one and a half time, because I don't remember it when I first saw it, or one asterisk. Anyways, so that's what... so yeah, North by Northwest was Alfred Hitchcock, obviously, and highly, memorable scene, I guess, or used scene with the airplane coming and attacking him. No spoilers.
Yeah. Great scene.
It is a great scene, and I actually never seen this poster for it with Mount Rushmore in the background or anything like that. I'm actually pretty good about avoiding shit like that. I just never seen it. I never knew it took place also in Mount Rushmore in South Dakota.
Oh, yeah. They're all over that thing.
Yeah. So I remember, and it just like all of a sudden like brought back Austin Power movies and stuff like that. And all the things that have parodied North by Northwest, which is kind of cool. Kind of cool to see all where it all stems from. But this is a cool movie, actually. The whole like mistaken for a government agent kind of thing. And Cary Grant is not a likable character, I'll tell you that right now. Yeah, it's nonetheless, it still works out. You still end up liking the movie. What's it called? And I don't know. I had a lot of fun with it. I thought it was classic Hitchcock, through and through. Just like with every issue, with everything going through throughout the movie. And I'm kind of glad I finally got to see it. But at the same time, I'm kind of like disappointed that I didn't see it before. I could have made so many more references to this movie.
Yeah,
it's unreal. Like it's unreal. The things I'm watching through this movie, I was like, "This is fucking unreal."
Yeah, it's like you're watching the origins. Like, it's like you've been hearing the remixes of something your whole life.
Yeah, it's 100%. Not knowing 100%. That's exactly it. And then I'm watching this, and I'm like, "Damn!" And it's still good. It's still so good. I had a lot of fun with this movie, and I mean, literally, this movie. You can tell the influence of what he's influenced throughout this. It's a 1959 movie. And in so many years, it's been, you know, just how much they've stolen from him, you know. Obviously in a good way, because, you know, they're just paying homage. But
inspired by.
Inspired by. That's a better way to do it.
Nothing you understand.
I saw this one or not, but it looks familiar.
It's a great movie, man. I want to say, did I buy it or did it? You know what? I think it was on HBO Max.
Okay, yeah, I think I saw it on there. I think I put it on my list, actually, to rewatch for later on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, I want to see there because they have a TCM deal or something.
Right, exactly. 100%. Yep. Yeah, so that's my movie that I saw. I was going to watch more Hitchcock stuff, but I didn't really know what else to get into that I was missing from him too much.
Watch Rope. Have you seen Rope?
No, I haven't.
I would say you could do Rope or you could do The Strangers on a Train if you haven't seen that either.
I've seen Strangers on a Train.
Ooh, have you seen Vertigo? That's a good one.
Shut up. I know you haven't.
No, I think I saw Vertigo like a long time ago.
Everyone says that though about Vertigo. Not everyone.
Was Vertigo the one where they had like an explosion in the restaurant?
Nope.
No? Was there any explosion in Vertigo?
No.
Pretty sure I saw Vertigo though.
There was people falling over. And you're still pretty sure you saw it?
I remember, I think because it was one of my 100 AFI movies.
Maybe. I don't know if it's on there. I assume nothing. All right. So that's Ralph, North by Northwest.
Yes.
Catching up on his shit there. I have four. Not as much as Luke this time, which is strange because usually I have the most. Let's see. One, let's go with, start with Motherless Brooklyn. I saw that. It was a rental 99 cent deal.
Oh, I missed it?
Yeah, you missed it. It came out in November of 2019. Here's the plot description. In 1950s New York, a lonely private detective afflicted with Tourette's syndrome ventures to solve the murder of his mentor and only friend. This one stars and is written by and directed by Edward Norton.
Yeah, I wanted to see it.
Yeah, he's done a few of these before. It's not his first foray into directing or writing. He's written many other stuff before. But this movie stars, in addition to Edward Norton, Guga Mbatha-Ra, which I love saying her name, Alec Baldwin, Willem Dafoe, Bruce Willis, Cherry Jones, Ethan Suplee, maybe. I'm not sure how you say that name. And a bunch of other people. And I want to say Michael Kenneth Williams, who plays, I guess, is some sort of like historical figure that he's like, I don't remember his name. Sorry, I'm just trying to remember. It's gone now. Anyway, this movie is like, you know, it's like a crime puzzle box. Not puzzle box, I'm trying to think what's the right term. It's a crime murder mystery type movie, and it's very much it's trying to be a sleek what's that genre, Ralph, that you and I talk about a lot?
Noir.
Where, wait, what?
Noir.
Noir. Thank you, Ralph. See, I knew asking Ralph when I had the answer.
You think the guy who has Noir in his screen name.
Right. Well, I wanted to say snuff film.
Oh, I just saw that apply Noir. Yeah, that's right. Anyway, yeah, Noir. It is a Noir. It is, by all technicalities, definitely a Noir. And it's, I would say, as far as Noir awesomeness goes, there are way better ones for sure. But Motherless Brooklyn, you know, I'm surprised it came and went the way it did. Especially since when I first heard about it last year, I was anticipating it. It sounds kind of pretty cool, right? And I saw a trailer for it. I remember vaguely seeing a trailer. And that I thought it felt a little gimmicky at first because, like, okay, this guy has Tourette syndrome, and throughout the whole movie, he has it all the time. He has like all these things and tics and things he can't control, and he's constantly explaining himself to people. Sometimes in funny ways, other times not so funny ways. And you know, it sounds kind of gimmicky, but it actually ends up working for it. Like, it didn't bother me. It didn't, like, you know, cross any line of like stupidity for me. And I liked it. It was a good little mystery. It, you know, it's kind of like Chinatown in a weird way, because it's all about, you know, Chinatown's all about the heaviness of L.A., what's going on in L.A. as a whole, in addition to a murder mystery case that the guy's solving. This one's very similar. What's going on in New York and what's happening in New York, the corruption of what's going to be happening in New York. And since it's a period piece, you know, especially if you know New York a little bit, you might know already, like, oh, shit, this is how the fall of this thing that happens, you know, 20, 30, 40 years later starts from, right? And it's kind of cool that way, I guess. So it kind of works very similar. I think Edward Norton went out to do his own Chinatown in a way. And I liked the movie. It was kind of cool. It was pretty cool. And I recommend it for you two. I think you two will enjoy it, especially. Yeah, overall, it's not that long from what I remember. Oh yeah, no, it's longer. Probably about 2.5 hours. Ooh. I thought it was shorter. Maybe it just felt shorter. Yeah, it's 2.5 hours. My bad. But yeah, like I said, I like the mystery. I like almost all the characters that he meets throughout the whole thing. And the mystery itself, I didn't like wow over, but it wasn't like bad or like madly done or anything. So it was a solid movie. I would call it a solid movie. So that's Motherless Brooklyn, available. You can buy or rent it in many places. Next up here, I saw a Netflix movie recommended to me by another person, a friend of the show, SOS co-founder Jay. He told me to watch this movie called John Henry. Have you guys heard of this movie by any chance?
Nope.
It's one that's written and directed by Will Forbes. When two immigrant kids on the run from his former South Los Angeles gang leader stumbled into his life, John is forced to reconcile with his past in order to try and give them a future. This movie stars Terry Crews. He is John Henry, right? And it also stars Jamila Velasquez, or Jamila Velasquez. Ludacris is in this movie as a bad guy, I should say, which is very interesting because he has a scar. A huge scar on his face. He's a tropey bad guy in this movie.
Oh yeah, wow. I'm looking at an image of it. That's crazy.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah. I imagine. Did you see the gold thing on his chin or whatever?
Silverish. Yeah.
Silverish. Yeah. Whatever. Anyway, but John Henry is like, see, I thought it was one thing when it started, and I didn't know what it was going to lead to. And my friend just told me, just watch it. You know, I liked it. It was kind of cool. And I was like, all right, let's just start playing it. I know nothing about it. And it's kind of a very, very tender movie for that plot description I gave you guys. It's a movie about like growing up, and it doesn't show that now, but it gives you that intention. It's a movie about this kid, John Henry, who's just like, you know, Terry Crews, right? So he's a big guy, huge muscular guy, and it's about him growing up in these streets, or having grown up in these streets, in a lot of like dangerous, dark, twisted situations, but he's repenting that, and that's like the whole thing. Is that when you start seeing him, he barely speaks. He's not there for anyone else. He's not like exactly selfish, but he's not exactly out there for, you know, busting crime either. He's not doing that at all. And the movie kind of teeters between being like an action, you know, a neighborhood, like hood action movie, and a serious, like dramatic, you know, drama thing. And it's like it kind of meshes both in there in kind of an interesting way. I really like the use of music in the movie. They have a soundtrack that I overall pretty much enjoy. And they have the great musical cues for them, for the background music. And I'm not exactly wowed by the ending, how it all ends up at the end, how the decisions that makes, you know, that make up for the ending. But besides that, though, I really liked the turnaround overall, and I love how where everyone ended up at the end, that, you know, after it all said and done. So yeah, it's kind of a fun movie. John Henry, it's not what you think, but
is it worth seeing, though?
I liked it. I mean, I liked it. I think I would recommend it to you two. But
it's getting shit reviews, though. That's why.
No, I get it. I think because people expected one thing. That poster, the fucking description. I'm sure the trailer doesn't help this movie. Because I think it's being marketed as like something it's not. It's not at all. I wouldn't call this movie at all like an action movie. I would almost call it like a trauma movie more than an action movie. And I think that's where people get mistaken when they hit play on their Netflix thing, because it's not like that. It has those things in it, but it's like a secondary, you know, to John Henry's and the persons around him, like. Their stories, their history. It's about them, you know, living in this neighborhood. It's about them coming out of something bad. It's not about the violence. So, you know, but I went in knowing nothing. So, like, for me, it wasn't, like, unexpected. It was just, I was just experiencing the movie. So I had no anticipations for it. But, so, yeah, check it out if you are into that kind of thing. But don't check it out if you're thinking you're watching some awesome, you know, fucking, you know, Terry Crews fucking killing folks. You know, it's not like that. So, but check it out if you're not wanting that. I don't know.
I think I'm
going to
put a skip on that one.
Well, I'm warning you now, so you can't just be disappointed before you see it. All right, so that's John Henry. And I have a documentary next up. So, Luke, perk your ears up. Ooh. It is about movies. It's about a movie, actually. The movie is called Fury of the Demon.
Just like mine was about a movie.
Yeah, exactly. Fury of the Demon came out in 2016. Its original title is La Roche de Dumas. I'm not French, but it's a French movie. It's written and directed by Fabien Delage? I'm not sure. A documentary investigation on the rarest and most controversial French movie in the history of early cinema. A fascinating, lost, and dangerous short film which causes violent reactions to those who watch it. That is the plot description in IMDb. And I would say that pretty much is a good sum up of that. So, has anyone ever heard of an old filmmaker called Georges Méliès?
No.
So he's one of the very first filmmakers in history. He was making movies in the late 1800s, okay, up until the early 1900s, and then he stopped. Has anyone seen the movie Hugo, the one that Martin Scorsese did?
Yes.
No. Okay. Maybe? I don't know.
You gave all three different kind of answers there, so.
I mean, I said yes only. That's all I had.
So that filmmaker in that movie, that Georges Méliès, that whole thing that's about the, you know, Ben Kingsley's character is Georges Méliès. He's born because he's basically did like a. Not, it's about a boy. I know Hugo is about a boy named Hugo, but he's constantly interacting with the world of early cinema, and that filmmaker, the filmmaker that inspired all the filmmakers to ever be, right, is Georges Méliès in that movie. Hugo is about that actor and his legacy, that director, sorry, and his legacy. So if you've seen Hugo, you might have an idea now.
Okay.
So this movie is about, so I don't know if you know this, but so there's a lot of strange things about Georges Méliès in general. Like, the guy did amazing things that we wouldn't figure out how to do in cinema for a long time. You know, the art trickery of, like, you know, superimposing shots. He did a lot of firsts. He's a lot of firsts and everything, right? But on top of that, even the guy did like hundreds of movies, and usually shorts, of course, and at least half of them are lost to all time. Now, everyone wonders, every once in a while, like every 10 years or something, someone goes into some basement somewhere, some attic, you know, and they find like a few reels of the lost work of Georges Méliès to today, you know? So, like, his stuff is still lost for the most part, and it's kind of a rare find to find his movies. So this movie, Fury of the Demon, is supposedly about a short film that they think either Georges Méliès or one of his fanatic like entrepreneurs, that's not the right word, proteges. One of his proteges did a long time ago, and that's supposedly this movie was actually shown to a public audience once, and when it was, apparently it incited some sort of like riot and violence, and people think it's because of the nature of the movie, it caused this certain effect in the people watching it. And this documentary explores as to where this movie could be, what it could be about, and all this stuff. And so, yeah, it's a documentary about a movie that makes people kill each other, essentially.
Wait, is it documentary or is it a mockumentary?
No, no. It's not a mockumentary. It's a real movie. It's a real documentary. I know how it sounds, Luke. I'm just telling you.
No, it's real because the Wikipedia page says it's a mockumentary.
The Wikipedia page?
Yeah.
No, I went on the... Really?
Yeah.
That's Wikipedia, though. No, it's these are all real people. I went through their, I looked up their bios and every one of them. Anyway, whatever. I was going to get to all that. But I'm not saying that the movie does those effects. I'm just saying that it's a lost movie that either George Méliès or one of his people, who supposedly was a Satanist, did a long time ago. And that it was only shown once, and that supposedly, I'm just giving you what the documentary says. I'm not saying that's what they're saying is true. So supposedly, it caused this great effect in the audience. I'm not saying that it's true. I'm not saying there's a movie out there that kills people. I'm just saying that it's fascinating to think that maybe a movie can do that or has done that once. So with that in mind, I want to say that I did look up some of the names, and obviously besides George Méliès, because I know he exists. And I looked at some of the names of supposedly these people who like are hardcore Satanists or cultists or something like that, or they're very strange characters. They're like a George Méliès, but like the dark side of him, you know, and how they came into contact with him and learned all his tricks of making cinema and production design, and they themselves went out and did their own movies, right? And some of them are really fucked up, some of them are weird, some of them are subliminal in their nature. Like now that you see now it's been like 200 years or whatever, 150 years, and you see it now and you're like, damn, yeah, okay, they were trying to do this, fucked up. But this was like early cinema, guys. Everyone was afraid of a train moving towards the screen. So it's not like it's going to do that now. You know what I'm saying? I'm not going to think that there's a movie that kills people. But the documentary does explore all those questions. And I'm not saying that the documentary is great. I just love the subject matter. The documentary is fine. It goes into the history and all that. But I already knew all the George Méliès stuff. So I didn't like particularly found a lot of interest in a huge portion of the movie because I knew about it already. But so I'm not recommending the documentary, but I'm recommending for the subject matter because it is kind of fascinating, kind of a cool story when you boil it down to just like an event, right? And so check it out, Fear of the Demon. That's all I'm going to give here because I'm branching into a full review of it now. But Fear of the Demon is kind of a fun movie. I did not see it as a documentary. Everything I saw as a mockumentary, sorry. Everything I saw about it was that it was pretty legit. All the people are real. The critics were critics. Whatever. I don't know what Wikipedia is saying. But I have one more movie here, and it's related to Fury of the Demon, but only in subject matter. It's called Antrim. And I know you guys haven't seen it, I'm sure. It's a horror movie that was made in 2018. A young boy and girl enter the forest to dig a hole to hell. Said to be a cursed film from the late 70s, Antrim examines the horrifying power of storytelling. And this is made by two Italian filmmakers, I believe, David Amido, Michael Lacchini, maybe. And this movie, Luke, opens up like a mockumentary. It opens up as if, like, there's this great movie that kills people. And they tell their own separate kinds of stories. Like, oh, yeah, the building that the movie theater was in caught fire and it killed everyone who watches it, right? And they were saying all this stuff, right? And the movie opens just like Fury of the Demon, you know, similar stuff. They're saying similar things, except that obviously when you look up the names and all that, they're just actors. They're not like, you know, they're fake people. But it's only for like 10 minutes because 10, 15 minutes because the movie does all that. And it says like, we found it and here's the movie. And then the rest of the movie is you're watching the movie that supposedly kills all these people. So it's just like a hook to get you in the mood to watch something kind of horrifying. It's kind of a cool way. It's kind of like, what's that Italian movie that I love? Cannibal Holocaust. It's kind of like that. You know, the mockumentary, they're looking for tapes that they lost in the jungle. Right. And those tapes supposedly are real, even though the movie part is fake. It's kind of like that. It's like a double head fake. But the movie Antrim, though, it's very good. And when you actually watch the movie itself, it feels like it's like a 70s pick, even though it wasn't made in the '70s. In reality, it feels like a '70s movie. Feels low budget, but in like in a creepy way. It's everything is like bizarre in production design and a cheap but cool realistic way. And the whole movie has constant like a stream of like insert shots and like not subliminal messaging, but maybe to someone more religious might be. But it is like. There's like a lot of hidden clues of Satanism and like spells and imprints and insignias all throughout the movie, like etched into the screen itself. You know, it looks very creepy, and I would recommend it just like as a horror movie because that's what it is, just a horror movie. But it's a very good premise for a movie and for a movie to like be made as if it's gonna kill you. And I guess as far as like. You know, now that we're in the post-Blair Witch era, you know, it's like, you know, we have to come up with whatever we have to come up to make it sound as realistic as possible, right? So, yeah, I recommend it. Antrim is really cool. It has a great ending. It has some really good horrifying stuff in it. I don't know where it takes place. I think it seems like it's like, oh, you know, Middle America, forest area. But then you see some really strange Eastern Bloc foreigners in the middle of nowhere. I don't know what's going on. But it's a good movie, though. I really recommend it, Antrim. You can only rent it or buy it, but if you're interested in anything like that, it is cool. And it does have a post-credit ending where as if the documentary goes on and it does explain more, and it's kind of a cool thing they explain. They talk about the movie itself and all the little cuts and stuff. It's pretty cool. So yeah, check it out, Antrim. And that's all I got for you guys for recent discoveries. So we're going to take a little break here. Yep. And when we return, we're going to talk about our first film of the evening, which is... a Netflix movie called The Old Guard. So, stick around.
Door's closed. How'd you get up here?
Sorry. I was just...
Hands! Let me see your hands. I stand in the air. Zero. This is Alpha 2-2. Sir. Zero, send.
We've had an intruder. Target is down.
See if you can get an ID off the body.
Shit! Tag teams, find Merrick now. Is all that we
got? There's four shooters at the door and more coming. Andy. Immortal or not, you made a promise. Whatever it takes. I've seen it, Andy. I know all the good you've done.
A covert team of immortal mercenaries are suddenly exposed and must now fight to keep their identity a secret. Just as an unexpected new member is discovered. This is The Old Guard, written by Greg Rucka, or Rucka, maybe, based on the graphic novel of the series by the same name, I think, by Greg Rucka and someone else. And directed by Gina Prince Blythewood, or Blythewood, maybe. I think it's Blythe. Gina Prince Blythewood is the reason I chose this movie, mainly because I've never seen her do an action movie of any kind like this before. Not that she's never done it. I'm sure she has, maybe. But I've only seen two of her other movies that I found that I thought were really good, including Love and Basketball in 2000, and then Beyond the Lights, which is a surprisingly good movie. I expected nothing from that movie, and that movie turned out way better than it should have. It was so good, actually. And I know she's also done The Secret Life of Bees, which had a big hit performance when it came out, but I never saw it. Has any of you guys seen her movies? The three that I mentioned, anyway.
No.
Yeah. I think I've seen Love and Basketball.
She was producer for Biker Boys. I saw that.
Biker Boys. I don't know what that is. But okay.
It's like Fast and the Furious, but on bikes.
Okay. Okay. Well, then maybe that's her action stuff right there, right?
Oh, she was a producer on that one.
Yeah, but I'm saying she could still learn action stuff. Possibly. Okay. Anyway, that's what I meant. So anyway, this movie stars, obviously. Stars Charlize Theron, Kiki Layne, Matthias Schoenaerts, wow, nailed it, Marwan Kenzari, Luca Marianelli, Chiwetel Ejiofor, which I love saying, Harry Melling, Van Maronica Ngo, I don't know how to say that, and the dude, the guy who plays Dudley in the Harry Potter movies. Right? That's him, right?
Who?
Dudley.
Wait, what's his name?
The guy who, the actor who plays Dudley in the Harry Potter movies.
What was his name again?
I didn't say his real name. What's the name?
Did I see him? Harry Melling.
Harry Melling, yeah. Harry Melling. He plays Merrick. Yeah, that's him. Yeah. He's also in that one of my favorite, most dark short, the one of the shorts in the Coen Brothers Ballad of Buster Scruggs. He plays the guy with no arms and no legs.
Spoiler. Anyway,
and he plays that character. It's not a spoiler that he plays a character. Anyway, shut up. This is the old guard. Anyway, new on Netflix, action, some fantasy stuff, whatever. Okay, Raph, what did you think of this movie?
I didn't hate it. That's a good way to go about it, right? No, I'm kidding. I actually thought it wasn't a bad movie. I thought it was, I guess, a little bit better than normal because of what's going on with this whole, like, mercenary immortal thing going. Not really spoiling anything because that's in the fucking description of the movie. So yeah, that's that whole thing. It was pretty cool to watch and then kind of to get the little history about it. And I guess there's only can be five of that at a time. I think that's the number. I'm not too sure.
It does seem like fate has it that way, right?
Yeah, it does seem. At first, I thought they were the four horsemen of the apocalypse. Like the four. They're just, you know, have weathered the storm for everything.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess there's always been a fifth. Whatever. Anyways, that's besides the point. But yeah, the movie was, it was okay. The action was kind of fun, especially when you see, what's her name, Charlize Theron, kind of crushing. Overall, I did have fun with the movie. I'm not complaining too much about the movie. There is some stuff, like, story-wise is a little, you know, and they kind of just, like, skip to stuff. But overall, I had fun with the movie. What can I say? It's not much to say after for an action movie. Like I said, everything else is kind of like, it's just kind of there for me. The coolest thing is that they are immortal and how they heal and stuff. But everything else, the villain-wise and all that other stuff, is it's kind of subpar.
All right. Luke.
I thought it was okay. It felt like a, you know, good old this weekend, you know, popcorn flick if theaters were still around. Remember theaters? God, I remember theaters.
It wasn't that long ago. It was this year.
Overall, like, I kind of like predicted the plot, which kind of hate myself for, but it's like, okay, yeah, I can kind of see where this is gonna go. It has some cool action sequences. It had that thing where I hated like the main character kind of, because I'm like, bitch, just go with it. This is cool shit. Like, you can't die.
This is cool shit.
Right? Like, fucking bitch, just go with it. It's cool. Yeah, like, if it was me, I'd be like, dude, what else can I pull off? Let's see. I'd be like the cheerleader from Heroes. You know, like...
This is Luke. This is attempt number three.
Exactly. Yeah.
I almost said your last name by accident.
Right. But, yeah. And then, you know, they scored points for using an Iron Maiden.
All right. Okay.
It was like... I felt like... Bill and Ted, you know, Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure. Iron Maiden, and they're like, excellent.
Yeah, I don't remember that well, those movies. Oh. So I don't remember the reference. I've seen them, I just don't remember.
Yeah. Part 3 is coming out.
Yeah, I know, I heard. Okay, so I clearly like it way more than you guys. I almost love this movie, and there's a lot of things why. And I understand what you guys are talking about completely. It is a completely... The plot is the least interesting thing about the movie. As a matter of fact, it seems to follow a very generic plot. And now that's to say that I'm not saying that you can't make a movie like this without some generic plotting. I think it's impossible. But
right.
But there's definitely more creative ways people have done in the past to make a plot like this work better. Definitely. And those movies are better in that way. I don't think this movie cares about that, though. And I think it keeps the plot pretty much, you know, archaic or simple or predictable. Because it focuses on two things. One, I think the choreography is really great. And it does get, like, more creative as it goes along. Now, the technical shooting of it, it doesn't get to trick shots or any one shots. It doesn't do that. It's not flashy per se. It's really what they're doing, what they're accomplishing on screen, and knowing the space that you're constantly in and how it moves frenetically between one space and another. I think that's the stuff that makes this movie a really good action movie, in my opinion. And I like that stuff overall. And obviously, knowing the fact that, you know, they know the fact that they can't die, it adds another layer to it to see what they can get away with. Also, the idea that they're so infinitely much more proficient at killing because they've had all this time to perfect it.
My favorite line in the movie is from that one guy. Mm-hmm. Is it, there's not the stuff that she knows, it's the stuff that she's lost.
Yeah, she's lost more ways to kill people than armies have learned.
There you go, that's what it is. Like
that. Yeah, yeah, I like that line too. But I think the even better than that, guys, I think what makes this movie really good, I found myself like, I think this is what happened with her other movie too. I'll talk about it in a minute. But anyway, what I really liked about it, the best thing about this movie is like its emotional anchor. It has tons of these like little or sometimes bigger scenes of like intimate personal details coming out, right? In different ways. And yes, some of those come out at, like right on cue, once the second act starts or ends, this one, you know, the emotional cue to begin the third act begins, right? Like the doy. But I think the way it does it and the way it's like paced or the way it's written or I don't know what, but I really found myself like really caring about all the characters. Even like, let's say the two lover immortals, right? The two guys that are like, that are probably the least.
And Nikki?
Yeah. They're probably they're probably supporting characters the most, right? I mean, they're in the movie a lot, but they're supporting characters. Even them, like every little interaction they had, it was so great. I felt that they've been together for hundreds of years. It feels that way, you know. And something in the way that they're acting or the writing, like I said, really works out for me. And I think that's why I cared about this movie so much, and I found myself really enjoying it. More than like if it was a typical, this is an adaptation, I guess, of a graphic novel. And as far as those go, I mean, many of them suck. I mean, we both know, guys. A lot of them suck, most of them. And I think that this one stands above them in because it does it so well. It does something that's predictable and does something that is normal very well, as opposed to trying to do something abnormal to stay away from the normal. You know what I mean? Like, it's not trying to break any barriers; it's just trying to do something really good. Of the same version. And I think that's where I think this movie succeeds in my mind. But we're branching into further details here. But yeah, that's what her other movie did too, man. I'm telling you. The star one. What the hell is it called? I missed it. I forgot it. Whatever. The Beyond the Lights. That's it. Beyond the Lights. It looks like another typical, whatever, teen pop star, like, you know, rising movie. And it's like this great love story that you don't expect. Anyway, same thing. But yeah, that's what I think of The Old Guard. I think we should just get into spoilers now, so we can just go forth in action in this movie as much as we want to. So let's do that, starting now.
You selfish piece of shit!
What would you know of the weight of all these years alone?
You're a very pathetic man, Joe, Booker.
You and Nikki always had each other, right? And all we had was our grief.
Well, now you have even more.
I'm going down fighting. I'm going down fighting.
Who the hell are you?
Where's the left?
You're
I'm gonna take them all out. Gonna take them all. Going
down. Okay. What?
I don't know. They can't die, huh?
No, they can't die. Let's talk about something.
Sequel.
What annoyed you guys the most?
I think it was just the plot, honestly. Just like, okay, I just know where this is going to go.
So when it comes to like these kind of movies, you prefer something where you don't know what's going to happen?
I mean, with these movies, it's kind of hard not to.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, so.
I guess that's what I'm trying to get at, is that how do you not... the same thing happening regardless of how it happens. What were you gonna say?
No. Keep up.
No.
You have anything else?
I was waiting for Luke to finish. I think I interrupted him too.
No.
Okay. My problem was the villain. The villain is just bad. Just not done
fucking
well.
Fucking Dudley.
I mean, it's just like literally sounded dumb. And then it's like, and I guess the guy who had the most, the other villain, what's his name? Chiwetel Ejiofor, Copley or Copley, right? Whatever the hell his name was.
Mm-hmm.
Merrick was horrible. Merrick was just a bad villain.
I agree with that, actually, yeah.
It was just the fact that he was just, like, so cartoonish. Like, oh, but you can save lives. But you don't care about lives. You already said it. You just want to make the bottom dollar and beat everybody to it. Like, why are you giving it a bullshit excuse about merit about, you know, why they should be tested on, you know? Mm-hmm. And it was, like, it was just stupid. And it's just, like, most of the stuff that he said, except for the intro to him, was just kind of dumb. And then, what's it called? Copley, or whatever the fuck they call him.
Copley.
Yeah. His was a little bit better, but even that, it was still dumb. When you finally get to, like, when he tells you his reason, you're like, oh, you're just dumb too. Like it wasn't even like, I don't know, I just felt like they didn't want to stick to something. You know what I'm saying? Like, I almost feel like we could have done something better with that whole thing of, what's it called? That whole board he's got about, like, finding them through the ages and finding specifically her and, like, how they've changed course of history and stuff like that, which I think was probably the coolest part of the movie, or one of the coolest parts of the movies, is that I felt like we could have made a better connection. Like, oh my God, what have I done? He could have came to that self-realization, you know, without having to, like, be beaten over it with a stick. And maybe we could have done something different with that character where he could have, like, came up to that conclusion on his own or something, or figured out, you know, that he doesn't want to harm them anymore, or he fears that they're going to, you know, what's it called, fight for the wrong side. I don't know. Something better than my wife died and they could be helping people like my wife. And I was like, oh, okay. It's like a bullshit answer for science. And then, you know, you're selling it out to somebody who doesn't give a fuck. It was just like, I don't know, it just felt bullshitty. That's like literally my biggest complaint about the movie. Other than that, the movie's fine. I don't have other issues with it. I like the fact that they get to do all these crazy stuff. And that one scene when she fights, when they all get reincarnated, and then they do that slaughter. Fucking great. That's a great scene. And same thing with when they're at the church. Is it the church? Or cemetery?
Yeah, not the church. Like a abandoned church.
Yeah. I think it's both. But yeah, so I mean, it was good action overall. Like, I had liked the action and everything. I just really like that stuff, kind of like, especially just like the third act was just like, ugh, left a sour taste in my mouth.
Okay. Well, for me, like, I agree with the bad guy stuff. That's why I didn't have it. That's why I took out Star, honestly, on my rating card of it. Because that's the same problem that all the Marvel movies have. Like, they have great hero stuff.
Right.
But always shortchange the villain. Always. They're always the same. This guy is not very much different. As a matter of fact, he's no different to a lot of the 90s characters, honestly. The 90s villainy in action movies. And I don't know if that's a byproduct of them sticking to the graphic novel or whatever. Either way, it doesn't matter. The wreath sucks. And the guy sucks. Like, it'd be one other thing if the guy had been completely honest and serious about the whole thing and... I don't even know. Even then, it would still be dumb. I don't know. So yeah, I didn't like that, but I still did not sour me at all because since you're rooting and I was caring for the heroes in the movie, especially as new developments happen, meaning like when the two guys got kidnapped, and I love all their stuff when they were got kidnapped and the truck and telling them that they're insects, they don't know anything about life, you know, things like that. Charlize Theron's character losing her ability and like being on her last kind of wheels on it, and then about this girl not wanting to, you know, say goodbye to the old life yet. Like, all that stuff is very interesting stuff, and I was totally into it, and that led up to the third act, because the third act was still like a very great action stuff, and I totally loved these stupid villains getting killed regardless of how much stupid they are. And yeah, I agree with you, Ralph, that the guy Chiwetel Ejiofor's character, what's his name again? Copley. It feels like a dumb reason. Obviously, I've never had a wife die like that and don't know how it actually feels, I guess. Yeah. I don't have to know that to feel that this is kind of a bullshit answer. And he knew what kind of person this guy was when he took the job or the assignment. You know, like, it's still on him, you know, for catching them.
I just feel like it's like different things are being said, like with science and like this and like what's your interest here? It's like when you get to the bottom of it, I was just like, oh, that's lame.
Oh, I don't know about the science. There's no science.
Well, that's what he says. He said at the beginning, he's like, I'm doing this for science. Like, we want to further science research. And, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
And you're like, oh, okay, maybe he's, like, really just, like, you know, he wants to whatever. And he's kind of like that government, whatever. And then they went with that route. And I was like, oh, okay, never mind.
Oh. No, I mean, it was pretty self-explanatory to me the whole time. But, okay. Yeah. And, but I want to, like, for example, like the fish out of water angle of the story, right? This happens all the time in movies, especially when big stuff like action movies or whatever, they do this all the time. They bring someone new, so that way characters have to explain the world that you're watching for the first time, right? Common thing. Happens all the time in movies. This one's no different whatsoever. But the difference is that they managed to, I think, not, I mean, obviously I do care about, oh, what's her name again in the movie? She had like a Niall. Niall's arc in the movie is for me even more interesting than hearing about the backstory of Charlize Theron. And Andy. And I really like Andy's stuff. Like, you want to hear like how long she's been alive. You want to hear that number. You really want to hear what battleground she was on that we've lost to history. You kind of want to hear that because that sounds cool that someone in present day could say that, right? That's cool. That's where the movie is cool. But I think the whole thing weighs really on Niall's character and her decision to not wanting to, you know, harm and kill and do all these things that she is being like thrust into, even though she was just in a battlefield of her own in Afghanistan, I think. With the U.S. military and like immediately seeing her being shunned out by her other friends, you know, for waking up alive instead of dead. Like that whole thing is just exactly what the first two X-Men movies were doing with Bryan Singer. It's like exactly what they were doing, except that this movie did it in one scene, whereas those spent entire movies doing the same thing, you know? And I think it did a really powerful series of things like that that led her to make that decision to, you know, for example, like stay behind and not do the final mission until she had to come back, of course, and then like spearheading her like stubbornness over like trusting someone who clearly just kidnapped her. Like, it's like I really liked all that stuff and it worked out really well for me. And I think the whole movie is supposed to hinge on her, even though it looks like it would be on Andy. But I think that's probably the closest head fake the movie has, is that you think it's about that person when it's merely about Niall. And that's how I think about it. But so that's why I fell in love with the movie overall. You know, I guess it's not like a great movie, but it's a great movie for what I thought what it could have been, or what the subject matter is, or whatever, XYZ. Like, it's better than most of the Marvel movies I've seen, honestly. And already it is for me. And as far as an opening and stuff. But I want to mention one thing is that would you guys see another one if they make one? Because there's kind of a cliffhanger, right?
Yeah, there's a cliffhanger. I yelled it. I said sequel.
They always got to leave room for a sequel.
That story about her friend being in a tomb underwater. That's
the scary. Iron Maiden.
That's scary.
That's fucked up.
That's really fucked up.
That's a crazy way to go.
It's not going. It's a crazy way to not go, right? That's awful. Can you imagine drowning over? Oh god! Yeah, I thought the movie was gonna take like a deviation to try to rescue her. Like, this girl was getting dreams from her, so like, oh, maybe she knows where she is. Like, she can pinpoint her. I thought they were gonna go there actually at first when they were talking about the dream stuff, but they didn't. I don't know how she got out. But anyway, so you guys don't feel like you would watch a second one, or not interested in a second one?
If they can make it better, then yes.
Ralph?
I don't know. I'd have to see the plot. Like, for me to be excited about it, I would have to see what the movie, what it's trying to do, I guess. But other than that, I mean, if it has similar action and characters and everything, everybody stays the same. I don't see why I wouldn't.
All right. Anything else you guys want to talk about in the movie? About the movie.
Kind of liked how they had them, how they showed them all, like, throughout the ages of, like, things that they participated in.
Are you talking about the wall of history?
Yeah. Like, you have all these, like, different, like, you know, military or battles and whatnot. And so, yeah, it's kinda cool.
Do you feel like this is, like, a religious movie in some way? Or, like, a fate-heavy movie or something? Like, the forces of something else is making this happen?
No. Hail Satan.
Hail Satan. No, I was in the movie. I'm not saying you have to believe it. I'm saying in the movie, do you think that's what it's trying to say?
If it did, it fell short.
No, I don't. I'm not saying it. I don't think it does. I think you can make that argument 100% because of the way, you know, Niall finds out. And that's why she stays to the team is that, she, you know, when she tells this guy about, you know, her, the macro, like looking, I mean, the bird's eye view of all the work Andy and her crew has done, right, throughout the ages, and how it's affected, like Ralph said earlier, that, you know, all history and humankind, that, you know, saving this person got pregnant and then made the child that saved, cured this disease, you know, something like that, right?
And yeah, they clearly pay it forward from them being saved and stuff.
Right, pay it forward, right? It's like a weird crusader, like the true crusades, like paying it forward with violence because they're killing people. But the killing is leading to a lot of positive things, I guess is what they're saying. And I don't know about you, but that kind of seems like a God thing they're trying to aim for.
Or so, like, they have a God complex.
No, that's not what I'm saying. But yes. You know, so I don't know. It didn't bother me. I was just asking if that's like what you guys feel about it. Is that what you think the movie's doing with that part, at least?
I don't know.
No, I don't know. I didn't really even think about it. I didn't really consider it. The movie plays around with it too because it talks about God and how there's kind of like none. Because even she's been old enough for, like, to be, she was a god at one point. Isn't that what she said?
Well, yeah, you can see how a lot of cultures could probably see her as one. Yeah,
right. Exactly. No, I guess it's more just like the. I don't know. It does feel like there's a divine intervention somewhere.
Yeah, I mean, if you bring yourself onto an indigenous tribe that's never seen a TV, you know, they would think you're a god because you have all these abilities, right?
I do have all these abilities on my phone.
It's kind of like that, I'm saying. It's kind of like that. You know, obviously she's not a god, but cultures don't know that. And if they know you can't die, are you a god, right? Or at least a vampire. Anyway, so I think that's all we have.
I did think about vampires right away, by the way.
Yeah, I know, right? So that's all I got, that's all we got for the old guard. Sorry that you guys didn't like it as much as I did, but at least you guys didn't hate it. So
no, I still had fun with it. Don't get me wrong. I still had fun watching the movie. There wasn't any issues about that.
All right, so they're gonna take a little break here. When we come back, we'll do our next film, which is gonna be a cringe-worthy review of 365 Days.
5 years ago, my whole life has changed. My father died. I thought I would die too. My heart stopped. I saw you. Every day I had this image in front of my eyes. I wouldn't have believed it's true until I saw you at the airport. In that moment, I understood that it wasn't only my imagination. I was looking for you around the world.
Have you got color in your cheeks? Do you ever get that feel that you can't shift the tide that sticks around like summits in your teeth? Are some aces up your sleeve? Have you no idea that you're in deep? I dreamt about you nearly every night this week. How many secrets can you keep?
Are you lost with the girl?
Cause there's this tune I found that makes me think of you somehow when I play it on.
Massimo is a member of the Sicilian Mafia family, and Laura is a sales director. She does not expect that on a trip to Sicily trying to save her relationship, Massimo will kidnap her and give her 365 days to fall in love with him.
Okay. Yikes. Can I reread that for you?
Please do it.
Massimo is a member of the Sicilian Mafia family. And Laura, please, he's a sales director.
Please.
It's way better my way, by the way.
It's not as corny as the movie is, actually.
That's the thing, yeah. That's what you gotta go for.
This movie is directed by Barbara, can you say his last name, Biawas?
Biawas.
Biawas, yeah.
Biawas?
And Tomas Mandis. Written and directed by them, too, as well as other people. Starring yes. Michelle Moron, or Moroni, Anna Maria Siglukla. I went there. Fuck me. Can you say these names? Look, you're the Polish guy.
Well, the problem is I don't think they have like the proper accents on a lot of them. So
you can't read anyway.
Can you fucking guess the fucking accents?
Can't you guess?
I don't know. I think it'd be like, okay, Anna Maria Szekluczka?
Nailed
it. Bronisław Wrocławski?
See, it way better than mine already.
Magdalena Lamparska?
Mm-hmm.
Natasha Ubrańska?
All right.
Good.
Cool.
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
Polskowa.
Bunch of people. This is an international movie. Apparently, not corrected before. It's not an Italian movie, as I thought, because it's mainly in Italy. It's actually a Polish movie. Came out in 2020 in February this year. Now, Luke, what did you think of 365 Days? We should just call it a year. Just call it a year. What did you think of a year?
All right, boys. Jig is up. My clever ruse is over. Poland is not in black and white, and it is now war-torn by World War II.
I am appalled.
I'm sorry. I tried to keep it up as long as I could. Someone else decided to make a movie and not in black and white.
And not religious either. Not religious overtones either.
Right.
No Catholic overtones. A lot of that
crazy, going on. Crazy. Sorry. I'm sorry about that. But man, what a steaming pile of shit was this movie. Fucking hell.
Tell us how you really feel.
This is like, what is this? Like Europe's answer to 50 Shades of Grey?
Mm-hmm. No, it is.
Jesus. It's so bad. It's honestly like, it's off-court porn at certain points.
And yeah.
I don't think I have anything more. This movie just stuck. by the way, okay. Like,
you're not wowing us with that description.
My mind was blown. Like, did they not hire one English guy to read the fucking script? Like, you're missing some, you know, a couple verbs or whatever there, you know, for pronouns. Who the fuck says baby girl? Like, what the fuck? No one says that, dude. Like,
no, you know who says that? Creepy people. Creepy people.
Right, it's like,
creepy people in parts.
Like, I was like, I cringed so goddamn much. And then it's like, how is this the number one movie at one point? Like, why? It was so bad.
Polish nation out there supporting?
There's not that many of us, bro.
A lot of you.
Not that many.
Oh, so funny thing. I was talking to two coworkers today, Polish, and I was like, oh, yeah, I got to watch a movie. They're like, what movie? 365. They totally didn't tell me this. Fucking. They were like, oh, yeah, we saw that. I was like, of course you did.
That's all they said. They saw it. They didn't give you nothing.
Oh, they said they saw it, and they were like, it's okay. But I was like, okay, thanks. That's all I needed.
Yeah.
This movie, okay. So are you done with your first impressions, Luke?
Yeah, I'm sure. Steven probably should. So, horrible use of the English language.
Bullet points done.
Yeah.
All right. Look, this movie is... I'm not okay. Some movies out there are meant to turn off your brains. Like they're meant for that. You're like, mm-hmm. Turn off your brain, enjoy the show, kind of thing, right? Magic Mike could be that, right? For example. But fuck me. This movie is not for people who turn off their brains. It's for people who have no brains, who have no concept of what real intimate anything looks like. Intimacy, what it looks like. I don't know how, but this movie does not show it.
War, what is it good for?
War, what is it good for? Right. You know, it has a horribly shitty mob plot that is still better than the other stuff in the movie. I regret it. I was like, oh my God, I paid this movie for the movie.
It's okay. We'll hold this over your head for
5 minutes in. I was saying this. I tried watching it yesterday and I could not take another song. So
did you?
Dude, I tried watching it yesterday too. And I said, "Fuck this," and I went to sleep for 10 hours. And then I woke up and I'm like, "I gotta watch that movie." Fuck!
I actually almost I almost called you when I started watching it, and I was like, did you pick the right movie? Am I watching the right movie? That's, yeah, because I just
didn't. I mean, it's a crapshoot sometimes.
No, hey, don't get me wrong. I just, like, I was like, I don't think Oscar would pick this movie.
No, I went, you know, I went for...
went up my Google Docs. I was like, no, it says 365 days. I'm with right. this motherfucker.
And like I said, like I said last, on the last show, when I picked, when I said these three movies for, you know, preparation, I said it like, oh, like I came across these three different kinds of filmmakers from all over the world. And I just came across these movies all on Netflix, all new, relatively new. And I was like, I'll just go with this theme of like kind of around the world. They're all different plots too, hugely different plots. Mm-hmm. And I was like different genres too and everything. So like I just went with that over like looking into the fucking movie itself and not knowing that it was a not only a 50 Shades of Grey, I don't want to say a ripoff because 50 Shades of Grey is a ripoff to every 90s movie. But but it's like...
yeah.
It's just like it's a snuff film to the genre. That's what it is. We're watching the death of a genre right now, and it's in 365 days. So yeah, that's my impressions of it. Raf, what are yours?
Yeah, don't watch this at work, guys.
No,
why not? Don't watch it at all. Period.
I mean, yeah, save yourself. But listen, this is obviously for the housewife who hasn't had any in a long time.
Right,
I guess. I mean, other than that, I mean, the fact that just, yeah, it's a bad movie. I'm in agreement with both of you guys. I love Luke's bullet points, straight into the point. I was gonna add. It's also talking about like kidnapping and like actual like, you know, all these like sex trade slaves and you know sex slavery, modern day slavery, right?
Yeah.
And you're like. No one bats an eye because she falls in love. It's okay. It's not a big deal. He makes a lot of money, and he's in love with her. And dude, like this guy's. What do you mean? Like that's like glazed over, and it's just like, ugh, like it's just so annoying. It was just annoying to watch it to keep
it's,
watching. Yeah,
it's
it.
Very. It's polarized. It's not good. No, it doesn't give you any. Like no, it's not. It's not morally good at all. You're right about that kidnapping. And not only is that it's atrocious to think of. Especially,
it is.
I'm sorry. This. We talk about, you know, we talked about the Vibe Bloods, how that movie came out at the right time. This is the opposite. This is the wrongest right. time in our in our current climate.
The wrongest time.
The wrongest Wayfair. Time to fucking... What?
Wayfair.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Like Wayfair. It's exactly... Where's her cabinet? That's all I'm saying.
The industrial cabinet, bro.
Yeah. It's a dresser. Because she's older. Oh, Jesus. That's so fucked up. Anyway, I'll stop talking like that. Anyway, but not only that, but it opens... The movie opens with these two, like, star-crossed lovers to be, right?
Yeah. Also,
how... It opens with him, like, taking advantage of a flight stewardess by making her give him head.
But she liked it.
No, she... Yeah, oh my God, that was the worst part of the whole thing. Because yeah. she looked like she didn't want it at all. 100%.
I rewinded that because I was like, did she give a smirk like she liked it?
Yeah.
And I was like, oh yeah, she did. I was like, oh fuck. I was like, that's unreal. I was like,
unreal. That's so bad. That is so bad. That's something that should not be happening in the 2020s or 2010s or 2000s. It should not be happening. No way. I don't know how people are. I don't know how it's number one either, Raf, is my point. I don't know how it became number one in anything.
Hey.
It's so bad. I'm surprised not more outcry is there for this movie in general. But maybe I'm positive there is out there. But I don't know why there isn't an overwhelming amount, I guess, is what I'm saying. And I'm really sorry for picking this movie. But let's, with that in mind, though, let's get into spoilers just so we can just, you know, wrap this up, okay? Because I want to talk about some stuff at the end and then fucking stop. All right, so spoilers for 360 for a year starting now.
On repeat until I fall asleep, spilling drinks on my settee.
One day we're setting for a new life. You have 365 days. I'd do anything so you can fall in love with me.
That the nights were mainly made for saying things that you can't say tomorrow day. Crawling back to you.
Okay, how much cooler? Now, it would not have saved the movie. But imagine if she was like going along with it the whole time and just kills him at the end. Huh. Just saying. I would have redeemed something. I mean, I would have given it a star is my point.
Yeah, I would have given it a better rating. Yeah, 100%.
Yeah, like if she was just going along with it, faking it. No, I didn't give it zero. So I gave it like one.
Yeah, I gave it one. Okay, cool.
Yeah.
I think I did. Maybe two. I don't know. I forgot what I did. Hold on.
It's low. 1.5 at most. Because, I mean, there's a lot of money thrown in this movie. All those jets and fucking yachts and fucking. I mean, they fuck a lot in that boat. They must have had that boat for a week, the filmmakers, and they just had fun with it. And it's like, you know, even as a filmmaking perspective, like, it doesn't, like, a lot of it, it's really badly done. Like, very bad pacing. Like, it just skips from scene to scene. There's this one scene, I don't remember where anymore. Oh, I don't remember exactly what led to the scene anymore, but there's this one 5-second thing when she's like, I think she walks into a room or something and then lies down and it skips like a day. I'm like, why do we see that? Why do we see her getting into anywhere? We got nothing from that.
Right, exactly.
She didn't do anything. Why would that insert be in there? Like, there's a lot of weird, like, this movie is awful. But what the hell happened at the end?
Like, I don't know. End?
And yeah, the end. Then,
like, she goes into the tunnels. I'm pretty sure she gets off somehow.
And my understanding is that she got pushed out of the car, or not out of the car, like rammed out of the road and fell in the water. That's my understanding of it, because they just do a long shot of this tunnel of this thing, and I was like, oh, okay, like that's what I'm going with. She's dead. That's it. This is what we went with. Okay.
Is that because of the ex?
I don't know. I don't think it's because of the ex. I think it's because of the, like, a rival mob type of thing.
The guy that he pointed a gun to in that club? Guy who shot the hand? He shot the hand of?
Possibly.
Him? Yeah, the guy who shot the clerk.
Shut up.
Sorry.
I don't know. It just happened. Anyway.
I don't know. It just happened.
I gotta see that movie again. Anyway, no, I that was it was just bad. It was just so weird, and it just smash cuts to credits. I'm like, what is going on in this movie?
Right, it's like, here's a random cop car at the end, and
it was so weird.
Oh, hot.
Yeah, that's it.
Yep.
And she was pregnant. Why do they have to add that? Who wants that baby anyway? I mean,
to make
in this
it
life,
more like, oh, I mean, no, it's two lives were lost or whatever.
What about the driver?
I know, right? I probably felt more for the driver.
I feel more for the driver. Okay, so I mentioned the ending. Anything else you want to talk about? Or, like, the sex scenes were, how was that for you guys?
So I'm actually looking on Twitter, and people are fucking, like, making fun of this movie.
Yeah, well,
and then, like, sexual manipulation and, like, kidnapping and bullshit like that. Abuse.
Because it actually touches on subjects that are very touchy, and they decide to just gloss over it and be like, nah, sex, woo-woo.
Nah, she likes it, bro. It's fine.
For real, bro. No problem, bro. Because it's like women empowerment in the beginning of the movie. She breaks up with the guy. Fuck this guy. He's a dick. He's like, I put up with too much of his shit. All right, cool. I get taken. Now I have to submit to this guy. You're like, wait, what the fuck?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But some people actually like this movie. It's fucking horrible. People are dumb.
There's actually a movie called Miss Pala. Has any of you guys ever seen it?
Oh my god, I haven't seen it, but I know.
P-A-L-A?
B-A-L-A. Miss Pala. It's like Miss... B-A-L-A. Miss Pala. M-I-S-S. Like a miss. Miss Bala. It's two different words. Anyway, and it's Miss Bala is like Miss Universe, but Miss Bullet. Bullet Bala.
Yeah, I remember when it came out. It's with that one girl from that one show.
Yeah, but that's the American remake. The original.
Oh, okay.
The original is made in Mexico. It's like both movies are weird because they're both made around in Mexico too, but one's made through an American company. Whatever, doesn't matter. Anyway, but that one has a similar, but very different though. It's made way better plot where, like, This woman, hot young whatever, you know, gets involved with this gangster, like, cartel guy in Mexico, but not in the way you think. Like, she's in a nightclub when this shooting happens or whatever, and she gets, like, kidnapped by them, and she's held prisoner. But the prisoner, like, not all that stuff that leads up to everything else it's not only way more realistic, but it's not the plot of the movie is for them not to fall in love. It's what she has to do to survive to get out. And the movie completely plays it way differently from the beginning. And you feel for her only the whole time, really. And even though you do get some moments between the kidnapper and the kidnappee, right, and all that in the movie, it does. It doesn't like ever like let him off the hook for any kind of behavior. So I would say a better version of this movie, guys, would be Miss Bala. Now the sex scenes are not there. Obviously, it is not. It's not that kind of movie. But the plot is there similarly. So if you guys want to see a better version of this one, watch that one. Anyway, but I think that's it, right? We don't have nothing else in this movie. Did you? Were you going to type something up, Luke? Are you good? Are you looking up something?
No, man. I'm done with this movie.
Hey. He was about to put effort, and he was like, "Why the fuck am I putting an effort?"
This is your Polish heritage in at work right now. No, I'm kidding.
Stick to World War II, black and white guys.
They make really good
we
ones.
Know what's there.
They make really good ones, though. They do make really good ones, though.
Yeah,
of those. Of
it's
those
like they're still like hurt by it.
Wasn't like Phoenix one of your favorites?
It's still one of my favorites. Still is. Still
you know
is.
The one memorable one is that Red Spider,
black Red Spider. Yeah, Red Spider, we saw that in. That.
Yeah, it was a film festival.
Yeah, film festival. We saw that. That was pretty good. Pretty good. Yeah, it's one of the best ones. Maybe the top two in that one for the whole thing we saw.
For sure.
What's another one we saw? I saw Ida on Mubi, which I saw the year it came out. Very good. It's black and white. It's about a nun in Poland, but it's really good.
Is it in World War II?
Yes, I believe so.
Shocker.
Shocker. All right. Okay. That's it for our review of a year. We're going to
just get better recommendations, by the way.
Yeah, we just did. We're just gonna do that.
Just
okay, we're
gonna the dick for 5 minutes for like an hour.
We're gonna take a break. When we come back, we'll review our last film of the evening, which is gonna be Wasp Network. And no, that's not white Anglo-Saxon Protestant. It's just a Wasp Network. Stay with us.
Thank you. Say it.
After yoga. Okay. Para baño.
Oye.
¿Tienes algo que decirme?
Más canoso que mi enfermo.
¿Qué tal enfermo?
No llega a fin de año. Dice que es de Fernández y asumió la presidencia interina de la fundación. Tiene un plan para matar a Fidel.
Vaya está todo. Como siempre, ¿eh?
Para cumplir el último deseo.
En este caso sí, será su último deseo.
Va a ser el Margarito. Venezuela. Entre la cumbre iberoamericana.
¿Estás de preso ya? ¿Eso es menos de un mes?
Sí. Tengo un barco llamado La Esperanza que llega a saldar de Puerto Rico con francotirador.
Thank you.
Okay.
The story of five Cuban political prisoners who had been imprisoned by the United States since the 1990s on charges of espionage and murder. That is the general story of Wasp Network, not the Wasp Network, just so you know, there's no the in there. This is written and directed by Olivia Assayas, also co-written or inspired by the book written by Fernando Moraes. And Olivia Assayas is the reason, you know, like I said, all these directors, I picked them. That's why I picked their movies. He's done a lot of great movies. Some of these I think we review for the show. But he's done movies that I think you guys have seen as well. I mean, personally, I've seen his movies like Cold Water. I've seen his segment in Paris, Je t'aime, which I'm not sure how you say, but I know you guys have seen that movie, I think. Summer Hours, he did the TV miniseries Carlos, which I have myself. Something in the Air, Clouds of Sils Maria, Personal Shopper.
One day I'll watch that.
Yeah.
The last two.
Seen the last two? Personal Shopper and Clouds of Sils Maria?
Yes.
I really love those. That's where I really fell into his. That's why I love his movies a lot more around that time. And then I went back to watch a few of his other stuff. Really good stuff. Really good director, I think, anyway. Yeah, he's a French guy. And this is his latest on Netflix, Wasp Network. Okay. So this movie stars Penelope Cruz, Edgar Ramirez, Gael Garcia Bernal, Ana de Armas, Wagner Moura, Leonardo something, Nolan Guerra, Tony Plana, Julian Flynn, a bunch of people. But yeah, and it's funny because this movie is about, you know, Cuba and Cubans and, you know, that part of their history, right? And this particular 80s, 90s time. But it's funny that even though 99% of the actors in this movie, unless they're meant to be white, are not white. They're definitely from different countries. Penelope Cruz is from Spain. Edgar Ramirez, I don't know where he's from, but I think he's from South America. Gael Garcia is from Mexico. You know, Ana de Armas is from somewhere.
It's kind of hard to get the actors out of Cuba, you know.
Yeah.
Venezuelan. Edgar Ramirez is Venezuelan.
Venezuelan, yeah. South, yeah. So I got that little part right.
Yeah. Communism minimal.
So. My point is that it's funny how none of them are Cuban actors, but no. That's funny.
Wagner Moura is Brazilian.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
All right. So I'm going to go first on this one and to say that this movie, you know, for what, two hours and 7 minute long movie, at first, it felt like I didn't know what I was going to watch. And it took me like almost, not I want to say halfway through the movie, but like 30 minutes to I guess not figure out, but like to like kind of like let it wash over me, because I had no idea what, because it feels like the movie just brings you in the middle of everything. And, but not to its detriment necessarily. It's just that I was a little confused in the beginning of it to see where, like, what the movie wanted me to focus on, what the movie wanted me to watch. And, you know, you realize that the movie just wants you to, like, experience the history of these people through these people of Cuban and Cuban Americans and stuff like that. So once you realize that, then the movie, you know, becomes like an ensemble, really. And it's not about one person. Even though Edgar Ramirez's character and Penelope Cruz's character are arguably the top two tier actors in this movie, they're in it the most.
Yep.
Well,
it's Penelope Cruz. If you pay her, you gotta use her.
Yeah, I mean, not just that, but she's really great in the movie. Why not use her, right? I mean, she's a really good actress in general, I meant, and why not use her? But yeah, and but even though that family, you know, those two characters, the married character couple, even though they're like a huge, the main part of the movie, there's still other huge parts. Like altogether, like half the movie is not them, you know. And you see all these other characters and other lives, right? You get the behind the scenes on their lives and what's going on, the political strife, the ongoing, you know, the things that lead up to a lot of violence is in this movie a lot too, and they show some of that violence too. That doesn't shy away from that either. This movie is really about revolution. It's about Cuba and what it means to be Cuban and what it means to a different type of Cuban, to be a traitor, to be a hero of Cuba. You know, the movie explores all this. And then my question, my first starting question for you two, for your first impressions, and that's to say, before I should say it, that I really liked the movie. I liked it a lot. And I didn't know where I was going to lean into as I was watching it, granted, but once it ended, I really enjoyed it. So my question to you guys is that, let's start with Luke on this one, or not start with, but you're next, Luke. What did you see this movie as? An ensemble? Did you see it as a, like a hyperlink movie? You know what hyperlink movie is, right?
Negative. Please elaborate.
Hyperlink movie is the time of a movie where a lot of characters exist in one movie that don't necessarily meet each other. And they're almost always connected by some
cosmic thing,
or Babel? Coincidental. Like exactly, Babel is a hyperlink movie. It's exactly right. Did you see this as that? Do you see it as an ensemble? Did you see it as a history piece, a biopic of some sorts? What did you see this movie as?
First, I thought it was going to be like a biopic type of thing.
Mm-hmm.
But then when there was that whole segment where they had like, where they were introducing all these other guys that came into the United States. And I'm like, okay, so they probably all are part of this one whole thing. So I think they all know each other, or at least are aware of each other.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
Yeah. And then what did you think of the movie?
I thought it was the best one we reviewed this week. So, hey.
Hey.
Look at it. Not to knock it, I think it's still a good movie. It's a biopic. I like biopics, kind of. So, and it's you know, it's about a thing we really don't know much about. We don't know that much about Cuba, you know, and like things from like the, you know, kind of like their perspective and what they do, you know, because late 1990s shit. I discovered my dick, and I was like, hey, it does things, you know.
Meaning you were watching the news. Got it.
No, I was not.
Yeah. You know, I wouldn't, maybe I want to classify it as a biopic. I know that it's easy to go there. I would say more of a period piece, like a history, biopic of history.
It felt like a good history lesson.
Yeah, I would say that. Yeah, that's how I felt more overall. But I'm glad you liked it.
I would kind of want to visit Cuba still one day.
Oh, me too. For real, me too. That's great. So you liked it? It's awesome. Raph, what are your first impressions of this movie?
I think you guys are all communist sympathizers.
First and foremost, no. As someone who was born under communism, go fuck yourself.
Sympathizers, how do I know you're not a spy? Anyways, that's literally the point of this movie.
If you want to look at my hard drive, fine. But
no, we know what's in your hard drive. It's your homework file.
Calculus!
Hey. Anyways, what was I going to say? Yeah. What's it called? It was cool to see the other perspective, I guess, the other point of view. It did feel like we were kind of trying to sympathize for these people who, it's weird because it's like, are they committing an act of treason, like, or what they did? You know, and I'm not trying to like spoilers for the movie, but really, it's not because it's history, so it's kind of hard, you know. But. For what they're doing in the movie, anyways, when they're just kind of just like defending their country, it's kind of weird. But overall, acting was good, and I liked definitely like how a lot of the stuff goes on in the movie, especially once Penelope Cruz's character gets more involved and stuff like that, along the lines of what's going on with the rest of the movie at that time. The movie, I thought it worked out. I also felt like I knew some of this, but I didn't know a lot because the names seemed familiar to me. But a lot of names seem familiar overall, because like Juan Pablo, who doesn't know Juan Pablo?
Bro, that's racist.
Not for me, it isn't.
No, it's my uncle.
What? No, I don't have an uncle Juan Pablo. Anyways, it's just like things like that. But other than, I mean, it was a cool movie to watch for like history purposes, I guess, in a weird way, like kind of like getting it, even though it's not meant, it isn't meant for that, you know. It's like a dramatization version of it. It's obviously not exactly how it happened, but it is interesting that this happened in general, you know what I'm saying? Right. And there's a movie about it, or a biopic about it. So yeah, I had fun is not a good word to use, but I had a good time watching the movie.
All right. Sounds good. This movie is like very, it's, you know, there's a lot of human interests, right? It's like a tapestry of human interest stories, right? That leads to what this movie is about. Right. To the WASP network. And, It's a lot of movies get bogged down when they try to make a movie like this, a historical, period movie like this. A lot of them get bogged down into just the details of what is factual, or like just focusing on the reasons behind someone's defection, right? The reasons, the whys or the hows of why someone can be patriotic to their country, or not patriotic to their country and fight against it instead, right? And right. I think this movie managed to do that, but not by exactly focusing on those things, but just showing like all the little conversations between them, you know, like how a decision gets made, not in some boardroom, not in some evil lair, not even with the president of Cuba or the president of the United States, even nothing like that. It comes at the ground level with these people deciding to take action, like one thing leading to another, like I need a job, right? Like I need money. Like, oh yeah, you're a reliable guy. You if you need some help, just come and talk to me. Cut to, you know, them hanging out, and they're like, hey, I have a job for you. If you're interested, that pays really well. All you got to do, though, is blow up some buildings, you know, like, you know, and it cuts to, like, you know, the trial. And that's like a small story, obviously, a very tiny story towards the end of the movie that gets to the same result. But this movie showing you, like, the defectors and all these people working the behind-the-scenes stuff. And they're all having conversations in restaurants and each other's homes, you know, and it just leads to those things. You just see it in the news a couple weeks later, right? And then you see the price that everyone's paying for, even if you're anti-Cuban or pro-Cuban, you see all the prices these people have to pay for their cause all the time. You know, with Edgar Ramirez, is of course his family is in Cuba, and the worst part is that the wife thinks that he is a traitor because that's what he's meant to do. He's out there looking like a traitor, but for his president, for Cuba, to try to take down people from the inside. It's like a double agent. He's a classic double agent, but he's like the most homemade double agent I've ever seen. Because when you think of double agents and all this stuff, you think of something more like Atomic Blonde or James Bond or something like that, right? You don't think of something not as sleek as this. But yeah, this movie is surprisingly very grounded and down to earth about its history. And I like that about it, because you find out that, you know, it doesn't necessarily, obviously, these conversations, we don't know 100%. In no way can it be proven that it happened this way. But we do know that this kind of connection led to the results that we know are factual, which is the blowing up of this building, or the taking down of this radical group, or this, or the stopping of this riot in Cuba, right? You know all these things. Right. So the movie never really focuses on that. It just tells you that this happened because of this. And it's really cool that it does that. And I really like the way, the pacing of it all. It's on par for me as far as quality, even though they're completely different movies, to The Old Guard as far as how much I like them. Now, I like this movie a lot. I really liked it. So, yeah, I'm a big fan of Wasp Network. I had no idea going in there what it was going to be about either. I thought it was going to be just like a love thing. I had no idea. But it was good. It's good. And the guy has been making movies like this before. He did one on the French Revolution. He did. He's been towing the line on this kind of historical biopic stuff over and over again. So it makes sense that he's just getting better at it as he does it, you know. He's getting very streamlined in his filmmaking, the SIS guy. So yeah, I really liked it. But we should get into spoilers for Wasp Network in case you want to talk about anything after, you know, in the spoiler session, starting right now.
Oye, subieron pasando el FBI. Si el FBI llega a interceptar el barco, tienen que abrir una investigación, no le queda otra.
Pero eso va a llegar, eso va a subir directamente a la cabeza de la...
Y si atrapamos a la fundación con la mano en la masa, tenemos una gran victoria, caballero.
Hola. ¿Cómo estás?
Hola.
¿Cómo te ha ido?
Bien. Pues salud.
¿Por qué estamos brindando?
Por el arresto de Cruz.
4 bombas. Un turista muerto.
¿Te sientes responsable?
No, yo, claro. Tenemos que haberlo evitado. Para eso estamos aquí, ¿no?
Hicimos todo lo que pudimos. Rastreamos toda la comunicación, desmantelamos la organización también. Ahora, Fanzón, escúchame.
Vamos a brindar, que tenemos muchos motivos para celebrar.
Claro que sí. Tenemos noticias y de las buenas.
¿Qué está pasando aquí?
Salud.
Que estoy embarazada.
Sí. I'm sorry, what was your, Luke, what would be your, like, your favorite component of the movie? You know, we focus on, I guess, like, three major players first, really. It's Edgar Ramirez, right? Gael Garcia, his boss, and that the Wagner guy, the star. You know, what did you, what was your favorite part? You have a favorite storyline or anything like that?
My favorite part, when the guy washes up at Guantanamo Bay, or not washes up, but gets there, mm-hmm. and then they give him, like, a Big Mac with fries, and he's like, he's like, this is a delicacy.
It's a delicacy, you know? Right.
Yeah, compared to the McFidels or whatever. No, that was hilarious.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was a fun point. The other one was like how the time stamping of this guy when he goes off to like plant the bombs or whatever.
Yeah.
He goes from hotel one to hotel, you know. And then you're like, okay, like it's this time. Like, okay, it's when are they going to start exploding? And then you're like, here I'm like in the background and whatever. So
yeah, like, so what do you guys think happened there? Do you think they didn't want to pay the guy, so like he did his job and then he got, and then they ratted on him so they can get caught?
Possibly.
No, I don't think it was that. I think it was I think the whole time that was the Cuban people who called them and said, hey, we have your money.
Oh, okay, so it wasn't like the group that hired him to do it.
No, it wasn't the group that hired him, it was the Cuban people. They were just like, hey,
listen. I wasn't sure where it was.
That's how I thought it was, because they said someone saw him throw the stuff away. So they just kind of put two and two together, also, and they caught his ass.
Yeah.
Because I think the only reason I thought that, because it was, if that's the case, if it was the guy who met him, they either set him up, or why didn't they catch the guys who set him up? Also, who were there? Also, you know, for the drop or whatever.
Yeah. What did you think of the American handling of the situation? Like, how, because like it came about through these political figures, right, that were living either in Miami or in Cuba, right, and about the oppressing stuff and using the FBI to their benefit seems to be like a double-edged sword, right, because it led to the FBI either deciding to, right, or figuring out or whatever that, hey, there's these Cubans here spying on U.S. soil. Now, they're not necessarily spying against the U.S. government, but they're spying on U.S. soil, and they use that to...
Yeah, they're just doing it to protect their country, right?
Yeah.
Isn't that what they're, that's all they're doing. They're not doing it for, like, purposes of to attack them back or anything like that. It's more like to make sure they're deflecting any infiltration on their end.
Right,
which is weird, because it's like...
tourism.
Yeah, which is weird, because it's like, what is the actual problem that they're figuring out, you know? Like, I don't... The sending of information, is that what it is? I guess.
Yeah, it's a couple. And that's why they have Gal Garcia's character be the one that sends all the info he collects, right, throughout the week, in one sitting, right? And that's how they're able to just piece stuff together. You know, it's like, you know, you're doing the right thing. You don't know for what piece, right? If you're following some guy or you're listening, yeah, to the conversation, you don't know what it's for exactly until way later it pays off in some way, or it could pay off in some way. either in code or whatever. I mean, this is like real spy work we're watching, you know, in a way that makes it look way less flashy. It's really, it's like real spy work, but it's less flashy than we're used to seeing in movies.
It's definitely less flashy.
Yeah, it's just done like so, yeah, like nonchalantly. Like,
it was that, like, quick like edit of just like, you know, them running back and forth and like slipping things into.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I was like, okay, that's
cute. Yeah, that's probably the most spy thing we saw in the movie, right? But the whole thing is a one giant spy thing, a spy network. And it's really weird. And I guess calling it the Wasp Network, is that because Wasp attack bees? Is that the implication?
I don't know. Did they even say why they called it Wasp?
No, they never said why. I'm just trying to figure out
why. No, they never did.
No. it's like, you know what it reminds me of? If you want to talk about hypotheticals, this is fiction, but it reminds me of, you know, Hydra being hidden in S.H.I.E.L.D. in the Marvel movies.
Hydra.
Think of it that way, right? The infiltration, right, process, right? Using S.H.I.E.L.D. to do something else, the opposite of S.H.I.E.L.D. That was, I kind of remind you of that, but obviously that movie's way more exaggerated and fictional, but same concept. And Penelope Cruz is so good in this fucking movie. So good. She says so much with her eyeballs. I mean, she can act the shit out of it. That
very
scene,
much so, yeah,
when she had to leave the daughter and stuff, like, that was, and every scene, like, When she is told by Gary Garcia that no, your husband is not a traitor, and he has never been a traitor, and he tells her, and she's like figuring it out right then on the table, right, and in the conversation she had,
right, that was
so good.
Cool. But at a moment, I was just like, is she faking this, or like, is this like, is she thinking she's being tested as well?
Right, I thought that too. I thought that too. But no, it wasn't. It was just the truth. It's just that they couldn't risk telling her or something. It was just part of the part of the secret. In Cuba.
I like when he's at home with his family, and like she's got that picture of Fidel, and she's like, oh, and his daughter's like, oh, I know you know, you're not like a traitor because you would have ripped up the picture of Fidel if you were.
Yeah, yeah, that's good. That's a good, nice little way, guys. A nice little touch to add to it. Yeah, exactly. It's also like, I mean, as Americans, how do you feel about the Cuban thing? Like, whose side are you on, ultimately? Like, even if you're not with the character, let's say you take out the character sides, you look at the thing politically only. Like, you think of what's happening, you think of both sides, right? Who do you guys favor? Do you have a side that you clearly are on?
No.
No, I don't know. It's weird. I'm not in a... anybody's side, I guess.
So you're neither anti-Cuban or for Castro.
I mean, I get what they're both doing, right? One is attacking, one is just doing propaganda, but at the same time they're clearly deliberately attacking them, right? In a pseudo way of the CIA or whatever, FBI is backing them by giving them like autonomy of going to do this and giving them enough resources. But at the same time, with leaving them alone, not giving them enough actual resources, and then leaving them alone and not catching them for, like, you know, drug deals and shit that they're doing.
That's what's clearly going on. And and what's it called? And then he but then on the Cuban side, Cubans are just trying to defend themselves from less attacks and just trying to keep the economy going, right? Trying to keep their side of going. So you kind of see both, you know? Like, you, one is trying to destroy communism when one's trying to keep it alive, but one's just trying to kind of like live, you know? Like, so I guess you almost like want to cater to, you almost want to see the Cubans win and this, from this point of view, from the movie's point of view, for sure.
Yeah, you know, it's there's a reason why the Cuba situation is so, it's so hot, right? It's because it's just so complicated. There are so many variables. It is really a for such a little island, so complicated. Because on one hand, I respect that they don't want to be taken over by the U.S. as, you know, base installations for their military purposes.
Right.
I understand that. And that's what led to a lot of the embargo. That's what led to, you know, Cuban cigars being illegal. That's what led to no McDonald's, right? So lead to that kind of stuff. It also leads to Castro keeping his power, so that way he knows for sure it doesn't go for the American side while he's still alive. So he takes control, right. And him in taking control stifles the economy, and there devolves surely what used to be, you know, cane sugar now becomes tourism, and that being attacked by people who don't, Cuban citizens, right, that don't agree with his point of view of not stifling the economy, but that's the result, but like of staying away from other influences like the United States or Russia too. Russia's a big component. They speak Russian a lot in this movie. It's further complicated because, you know, there are Cubans who are like, yeah, we want our country, but we want our country to flourish, and we can't have you on in power. And right. Then that makes more complications and more attacks, and makes, you know, and you can see why Castro would then start imprisoning people who are peacefully protesting, because he doesn't want any kind of chance for something worse happening. And I'm not saying I agree with anything that's happening in this movie, but I can see where, how it gets there.
Yeah.
And yeah, I'm on no one's side. I don't know what to It's so complicated. I have no idea what to think. Still, and I've seen a lot of like other movies or documentaries about this. You know, I saw not to be too off subject, but I saw a movie from Agnès Varda, the French filmmaker. You know, she did a movie on her time in Cuba, and she did like a lot of like it's mainly artistic. It's not like political. It does show some political, but not really. It's really about just her living in Cuba and falling in love with the Cuban people, right? And, like, you know, knowing their stories, knowing their turmoils, knowing their state of minds, loving them, showing, like, the vistas, right? Stuff like that. And it's, and you can't help but, like, just be on their side for whatever it is. Like, if they want to be anti-communist, sure, be anti-communist, right? If you want to be pro-communist and keep the United States away, whatever you have to do. But who knows? What's the real answer? Who knows? But it's complicated. And this movie makes you think of these things. And that's why I like this movie. But Raf, do you have a favorite storyline?
I was going to ask you. I'm kind of lost in one of the stories. I don't know if you guys felt the same way. Hmm. Who the hell was the girl that Pablo Escobar's the actor who played Pablo Escobar in Narcos? Who the hell was that? Why was she famous? And why was he famous? Because he was just good looking?
Oh, Wagner?
Yeah, not Wagner.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
The
who?
The guy with the Rolex.
Yes,
the guy with the Rolex. Yeah. Why was he famous? I don't understand. Who was he? He was just a pretty looking guy, right? Is that my understanding of it?
I think he had some mild success in TV or movies before.
Okay. All right. And then who was she?
No one famous until later.
Yeah, that's what I was lost at, because I felt like they made a big deal about it in the movie, and I was like, I don't know who these people are.
A big deal about what part? Like, you mean at the end?
Like, who they are, like, who they are. Because, you know, they're, like, obviously, like, established people, like, they're getting all these big-name people to lend them the mansion and stuff like that.
I think she became famous because of his defection, because he went back to Cuba.
I know that. I figured that much, but I thought she was, like, also, like... like mayor or not, like her family was popular or famous or something like that, or somebody.
No, it seems like she. No, I don't think so. I mean, that's what I think. I mean, I don't know for sure either.
I was just confused by it.
Yeah, No, not to me. I mean, to me, I guess I don't know the question because, I don't know the answer to your question, which I guess makes me confused about it. But I just thought that she was, her fame only comes from marrying this guy.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Well, that's what I was lost at because I felt like they were trying to give me something else, and I was like, what are you giving me?
I think she wanted like a cushy life, and that's what this guy offered in exchange for.
That's what it seemed like. Right. Yeah.
What an asshole. The reporter asked.
Yeah, the interview, yeah.
Like, what do you miss most from America? My Jeep Cherokee. I'm like, and she's like, what the fuck?
Yeah. That was an asshole move for sure.
Oh, he was a total asshole. Yeah,
100%.
Yeah.
Yeah, but other than that, a storyline. I don't know. I guess I found myself more compelled with the Penelope and what's his name?
Yeah, I remember.
Yeah. So it just makes more sense.
Renee Olga.
Yeah. Because Renee and Olga. Yeah, theirs was like his was just very like I want to protect my country. I want to free people who want to get freed, right?
Right. He actually declined some of the more lucrative jobs because
he didn't want to do that. You know, and obviously everybody played their part. Had he switched the roles with Wagner, right, who was Juan Pablo,
yeah,
right, he could have been also because they were both pilots. Am I correct?
Yes.
Like, he could have been on the other end also. He could have been asked to do the other way.
Yes.
It would have worked either way. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure they would have done it for whatever the reason was. But it was just like, I don't know, I just felt like more, it gave more to the story for that reason.
Yes, I agree.
So, yeah.
All right. It's good. It's good. It's a good movie, man. I love it. All right. So I think that's it for this movie. Unless you guys want to mention something else. Anyone? Everyone good?
Nope.
Yeah.
At the end of the movie, I like the little thing, the little blurbs about what happened to him after it. It's cool that, you know, the guy got released and shit, so.
Yes. I mean, finally, after what,
12? Yeah, 15 years, something?
12 years.
Oh, 12. Okay, close enough. I do wonder, like, I felt really bad, like, when she had to give the kid away to, like, the grandma, because she knew she was going to get, like, taken soon, so.
Yeah, deported, yeah.
Right, I'm just like, fuck, like, you know, because that grandma didn't look too young either, so I was like, oof.
Yeah. No. I mean, when we first met her, when she was like 2 years before or a year before, she already looked like, man, this person's going to fall apart any second now.
Luckily, it all worked out, I guess, in the end, even though it's still 12 years. But that sucks. Yeah, political prisoners are no joke. They happen all the time, which is sad. Anyway, so that's it for the WASP Network, and that is kind of it for our show. You have been listening this whole time to another movie podcast. That's right, just another movie podcast. If you want to send feedback to any of these movies that we talked about or anything in general, you can do so at podmoviecast@gmail.com. Furthermore, don't forget to check out our website at otherpodcast.com. And also, the best way to support our show is to give us our ratings on iTunes or whatever you're listening to us on. That would be the best way for new people to find us. So that way you can share with a community.
Sharing is caring.
Right. That's what that whole thing is us. Remember, we are a bi-weekly show. We come out every other weekend. But one last thing here. I forgot the Twitter stuff tonight. So you can follow me personally on Twitter and on Letterboxd over at Harmon Filmmaker, which is filmmaker with A-R-M-E-N. Luke?
At Slothmaster Luke.
Rafa? At Don Rafa. _L.
Mm-hmm. All right. Like I said, every fortnight. So next time, Lukasz.
Save me from picking movies.
Yes. Save us from ourselves. What are you picking?
He saved me from picking movies, but he also fucked me out of something. But it's okay.
Thank you. Yes. So we're going to be reviewing two movies from Amazon Prime because I've been on a big Amazon Prime kick lately.
The whole time.
And they have not disappointed for the most part.
Okay.
The first movie is going to be 7500 or... 7,500 or 7500? I don't know.
Is that money? Time? What is that about? An address?
It's just numbers. Names,
numbers.
Then the next will be a biopic that's going to come out a couple days before we record called Radioactive.
About Madame Curie?
Yes, sir.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, I was kidding. Okay.
Fun fact is...
Nailed it.
You know, another Polish person.
Yeah.
A lot of people don't know.
No, yeah, Madame Curie. She's fucking world famous, bro.
We will start the Jack Nicholson marathon off with Five Easy Pieces.
which we're going to find out. Not so easy. Right. So until then, guys, I'm Oscar.
And Luke.
And Ralph.
See you later.
Coffee and pie.
Coffee and pie, oh my.
You didn't hear it from me.
It's T-R-A-S-H. My baloney has a second name.
Am I really the only one that finds that funny?
Well,
okay. What I was saying a minute ago.
You say a lot of things.
Can the horse, horse, and horse?
Yeah.
Yeah, so stupid. God. I get the spelling. You just have to fucking put it in the chat.
Oh, God. This is what we got to deal with. Jesus Christ.
What's the H for?
I mean, I guess depending on how you
is
say
it.
Could you imagine, trying to spell this at a spelling bee? And the guy has like a bit thick Boston accent. Spell horse.
Oh, shit. Yeah, like the announcer
fucking
guy?
Shoot me now. Can I get the definition?
Yeah, you have to ask. Like, can you use it in a sentence?
Not the one fucking horse, the other one.
No, can you use it in a sentence? These horses, voices, horse.
The horse, horse sounded a little horse.
Horse. See, you're all just fucking dumb as me. Oh, you're all funny, funny like I do. It's a fucking bunch of fucking.
We're not saying it's not funny. It's just like you had to come in and bludgeon it. Like, fucking, we got
that's the way it works. This is that joke that works that way.
I guess.
It's not like a subtle caviar thing, you know? Whatever. Okay.
Caviar.
Caviar, yeah. Oh, fuck. Okay. You're right there, Luke.
Yeah.